Revelation chapter 1 in your Bibles. Second coming. We looked in the last message that I preached to you on this subject that there are numerous passages of Scripture that deal with the second coming of Christ. And the second coming is divided into two parts. First of all, what we call the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 and 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 58 deal with Christ coming to take the saved to heaven to be with Him forevermore. And then His second advent when He returns to the earth to fight the battle of Armageddon at the close of the tribulation. Now this, there's always been a belief in what is called a mid-trib rapture position from a wrong interpretation of Scripture. And it has escalated in years most recent. Marv Rosenthal, who left the Friends of Israel, wrote a book called Pre-Wrath Rapture, invented a new term for the mid-trib rapture position. Says the church will go through the first half of the tribulation, but it won't go through the great tribulation when the wrath of God is poured out. And his brother told me that Marv was heavily influenced by financial gifts from a millionaire who held that position and who funded some of his ministry after he left Friends of Israel. Now, I'm telling you what his brother said. And his brother had stayed with him in his ministry for a period of time, and then finally, when they sold that amusement park of the Holy Land down in Florida, his brother left and came back up here and tried to go to work with a mission board, and that didn't work out. But there have been others. I got a video on my desk that deals with that position, the pre-wrath rapture, and it's another group, and I think this fellow's funded this video. And on the video, I haven't seen it. Don't know if I'll even watch it, but if I do, there's on the back of it, it says Kent Hovind has taken this position now. And many knew Kent Hovind from Pensacola. He had put out an early creation series and that sort of thing in previous years. Then he went to prison for a period of time because he was not charging, withholding Social Security and tax on his videos and things. He had students working for him, shipping out those things, and he didn't treat them as employees, and the government stepped in and got him for tax evasion, and he actually went to lockup for a period of time, and I don't know if that had anything to do with him changing his position or what, but until I watch the video, I don't fully know, but that's what it says on the outside of the video. But I haven't changed my position. I believe in the second coming of Christ. I believe in the rapture of the church, the saved going to heaven to be with the Lord, and then Christ coming back to the earth to fight the battle of Armageddon. Revelation 1:1-3 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Let's pray. Fathers, we look into your word. I ask for your wisdom and divine guidance in rightly dividing the word of truth. Helps to properly interpret Scripture with Scripture. Help us to be true to the doctrines of the Word of God. And bless your people, teach them something, encourage them, and help them to be anxious about the coming of Christ and prepared and ready for Him, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The word revelation comes from the Greek word apocalypse. It means to take off the cover, to unveil. Hollywood has made movies called The Apocalypse, and it's about the Vietnam War, about dropping bombs, and about any kind of gratuitous violence. You know, they'll tag the word apocalypse on it, and that's not what the word means. In English, the word means to disclose, and when it's referring to the Bible, it is to disclose prophetic things, the end-time things of the Bible. Revelation is Christ's revealing of the things that must shortly come to pass, the Bible says. And this is the central theme. The theme of the book of Revelation has nothing to do with the felt needs of people and all their emotions and all that sort of thing. It has to do with the things that are going to shortly come to pass about the coming of the Lord and the judgment of God upon this world. When Paul wrote to Rome, we find his understanding of these things in chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. He said, "That knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Paul said we need to be prepared, that this could come soon, that Christ could come at any time. And that's what we mean by the imminent return of Christ. It doesn't mean he will come very soon. It means he could come at any time. Now, as believers, our destiny is sure. Once you know Christ is your Savior, heaven is your home, Christ is preparing a place for you, you know you're going to be with the Lord because of what Christ has done for you. Your destiny is sure. Our departure is at hand. We could leave at any time. We're going to have an exodus. If you think Moses and Israel had an exodus through the wilderness, my friend, we're going to have an exodus leaving planet Earth and going to be with the Lord in heaven. Our deliverer will come. Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world, and he will deliver us completely when he comes to take us to heaven in the completion of our salvation. So our destiny is sure, our departure is at hand, our deliverer will come. Our duration is limited. We live within the window of an opportunity. We live in a short time span. Our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. None of us know how long we have until we could physically die or Jesus could come to take us home to heaven to be with him forevermore. Our direction is guided by the Lord. His Word and His Spirit leads us, guides us, directs us in how we are to live. Our doctrine is Bible. What we believe from the teachings about what the Bible says about every specific thing, the person of God, the Trinity, the coming of the Lord, all these things are doctrinal beliefs that are grounded in the Word of God. Our duty is to be ready, watching, serving, looking, longing for the coming of Jesus Christ. And our dedication is imperative because the time is at hand. First of all, tonight in verse 1 through 3, twice in this section, John reminds us of the urgency of the moment. Verse 1 and verse 3, we are in the church age, or the age of grace. The day of salvation is today. Now is the accepted time. But at any moment, a new epoch of time could begin. And that would be the occurrence of what we call the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17, where it speaks of the Christ descending and taking up the dead in Christ, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up. And that expression, caught up, in Latin is rapto, where we get our English word rapture from. And it means a forcible seizure. The root of that word is the same as rape, and it means a forcible seizure. Christ will descend into Satan's realm and take out of his realm all who are saved, his church, to be with him forevermore. And that will usher in the epoch of time that will follow. This will be the happening of the final days of man. Just today, I saw a post where Israel has issued a warning for all of their citizens who happen to be in the country of Turkey to leave immediately from Turkey. This wars that are going on with Syria have flooded into Turkey, and Russia and Turkey have been bouncing some back and forth, and Turkey has started stretching its wings a little bit, and so there may very well become travel warnings about going to Turkey. You say, do people go to Turkey? My wife and I got stuck in Turkey overnight in Istanbul. We were on our way to the Ukraine to visit our missionaries, and we landed in Istanbul, and we were flying to Turkish Airlines, and they were late. And when they got there, they had employees waiting for us at the terminal to rush us to our next flight so that we could get to the Ukraine. Only problem was the employees didn't know which gate to take us to. And they took us to the wrong gate, and come to find out where we needed to be was all the way at the other end of the airport, you know, 20-minute walk or run or whatever, you know, to get over there. And it was too late then. The flight was gone. So we had to spend the night in Istanbul, Turkey. From the hotel where we stayed, they paid for it. It was a 15-story Marriott hotel. It had security just like an airport. You had to go through an x-ray machine, and they had the columns of concrete that went down and let the van come in, and they looked up under with a mirror and all that sort of thing. And we went into that multi-story hotel, and I think we were on the 14th floor or something like that, and we could see out over the city of Istanbul, and we counted about 11 or 12 mosques, Islamic mosques. From where we were in our hotel room, we could see that many all over the city of Istanbul. And we could hear them when they went to their call to prayer. And the hotel people warned us not to go out into the city, and so we were glad to obey. And then the next day, we got on to the Ukraine and didn't have any problem on the return trip. We just stayed in the airport in Istanbul, and they were sort of on high security when we came back through. We got checked several times in the airport. We see things happening in the nations that are near Israel and that will be a definite part of the end times found in the book of Revelation. We see a moral decline of the society in which we live. We see an attitude toward Israel that we haven't seen in many, many years by more and more people, including some of the leaders of the United States, the president that is in office that somebody put in right now in the United States, has an attitude toward Israel that he doesn't have toward his Islamic friends. And all of these things are indicators of the end times, the globalization of nations. The first person I really heard talking about globalization was George Bush Sr. And, of course, he had been an ambassador to the United Nations. He brought a lot of that jargon and talk and philosophy with him into the White House. And it was from him on, they've all been talking about globalization. And, you know, the global warming. I heard an idiot on the radio today when I was going home from church. That Kawasaki dude, whatever his name is. He's rich dad, poor dad, you know. And he lives in Hawaii, and he says people don't believe in global warming are idiots, you know. And I said, where's he going with this, you know. So he had some expert come on, and I lost track in what the expert was saying because I didn't make much sense out of it. But I believe that there's changing in the climate, and there can be some slight increase in temperatures, but all these ne'er-do-wells who've yelled the clarion call about global warming, the amount of time they said it was going to take for the earth to warm up to the point to where it would destroy the world is already passed. And, you know, we haven't had a minute amount of what they said would take place, and yet nobody holds their feet to the fire for all their lies and all their fundraising and all their government support and all that sort of thing. They just keep on speaking it and keep on preaching it. Giving money to the United Nations, their attitude toward Israel, their attitude toward globalizing, their attitude toward war, their the final days of man, the moral decline among supposed Christian nations. All of these things point to the end times. Chapter 1 and verse number 6. We have the promise that He will make us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Christ will rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with Him. But until He's King of kings and Lord of lords and rules and reigns, the earth's not going to be run any way like it should be until Christ is the King and reigns upon the earth. Now, Paul wrote to Corinth, he said, you come behind in no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he wrote to Thessalonica in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, he said, these believers turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We've been delivered from the wrath that's going to come upon this earth, found in Revelation 6 through 19. If you read those chapters, Revelation 6 through 19, it is a scary thing of what's going to transpire upon this earth when God pours out His wrath. But thanks be unto God, we have been delivered from that day. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:10-11, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and lifestyle or godliness? How should we live knowing what's going to take place? Everything's going to be burned up. Everything's going to be dissolved. We can't take anything with us of this world, my friends. It's all going to be left behind. And Christ is going to come and take us out of this place one day. It's not a popular subject when you start telling people to quit focusing on material things because they're going to leave them behind and they could turn into rubble at any time. Christ could come for His bride. He'll descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's a comfort to believers. It ought to scare the unsaved to death to think about what's going to happen on this earth when God pours out His wrath. But it doesn't scare me because I've got a promise I'm going to be delivered before that ever takes place. The second coming of Christ to this earth will be a time of judgment when Armageddon takes place. Revelation 6 through 19 reveals all that happens on the earth and heaven during the tribulation and the final battle when Christ returns to plant His feet on the Mount of Olives, defend Israel, fight Armageddon till the blood will run to the depth of a horse's bridle against those nations that come against Israel in that day. It reminds us there's an urgency, there's an awareness, there's a holiness, there's a preparation to be prepared about the coming of the Lord. Secondly, in these few verses in Revelation, three times he reminds us that this is Scripture that he is sharing with John to share with us. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave, is given it to his angel. It is the infallible word of God. It is to be shared with us so that we might know what is going to transpire. And verse number 9, the Bible says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was exiled to a little island because of preaching the gospel. That didn't go along with the empire of that day. It stirred up trouble among peoples. And so he was exiled here because of preaching the word of God and the testimony of Christ. The revelation is Scripture. It's God's word. It is God's message for us. Back in verse 2, he said, John bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's vital that we know the Bible. Vital that we know what we believe from the Bible. Vital that we know the Bible is the Word of God, and only the Bible is the Word of God. He writes what is revealed to him. There are many who have taught this book is figurative and that men cannot interpret it. Had a lady who was a member of the Church of Christ in Rock Hill, and she visited our church, and I was preaching from the book of Revelation, and she got real concerned. She called her pastor up and had a meeting with him. He said, "Oh, you don't have to worry about that. It's a bunch of fairy tales and stories, and nobody's supposed to be able to understand that." Well, she just didn't feel comfortable that he was telling her the truth, and so she kept coming to church, and she got saved, and her husband got saved, and they brought another couple, and they got saved, and praise God that she pursued following the Bible rather than what her pastor told her about the Bible. This is the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ and what must shortly come to pass. It's not written to unsaved people. It's written to believers. The unsaved can't understand the deeper things of God unless they come to know Christ as Savior. You remember the story in the book of Daniel chapter 5, verse 5 through 31? Daniel was a captive in Babylon, and the king was holding a great big feast, and he was just doing all kind of things you do at partying. And then he went and got the vessels from the house of God that they'd taken captive, and he started toasting his idols of gold and silver using the vessels from the temple of God. And when he did, all of a sudden a hand appeared and started writing on the wall. And it wrote something that nobody there could understand. And so the old queen, she told her son, said, "Go down there and get Daniel. He has the Spirit of God in him." And Daniel came up. I love this. I've heard this old preacher preach this one time, you know, and he said, he called for all the wise men. They couldn't tell him what was on the wall. He called for the astrologers. So they scratched their heads, said, "We don't know what that means, boss." And he said, "Go get Daniel." He got Daniel coming there. Daniel said, "Glory to God, a letter from home." And Daniel interpreted that this was the judgment upon this king, and the Medes and the Persians would come against Babylon and destroy them and take their kingdom and kill the king and take his life that very night because of what he had done. And that's exactly what transpired. The Bible's not written for unsaved people to understand. It's written for God's people to understand and to explain to people so they can believe and be saved. It's a love letter to God's people. False teachers have made a mess out of trying to interpret and decipher the Bible. Hollywood has made a mess out of it. It's a nightmare to the unsaved people, but it's a book of hope to believers. It's a book of curses to the ungodly, but a book of promises to those whose faith is in Christ. It's a book of wrath and vengeance to the lost, but a book of hope and assurance to the saved. It's a book of the end for the wicked and unbelieving, but it's a book of new beginnings for believers to go to be with the Lord, and a new heaven and a new earth will be created for us. It is the end of the world for earth dwellers, but it's the new heaven and earth and eternal abode for the heavenly minded. It's the lake of fire for the unsaved and the ungodly. But it's the new Jerusalem for those who believe in Christ and the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Thirdly, in verse number 3, we find the first of seven beatitudes from the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This word time is the word kairos, not the word chronos. It means an epoch of time. Blessings upon those who read and hear and keep. This is a present tense participle implying a continued reading, a continued hearing, a continued observing, and is the first of the seven beatitudes or blesseds from the book of Revelation. We find the Beatitudes in Matthew as Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed is he, and blessed is he, and blessed is he. And this is the first of Revelation's Beatitudes. It was common for the early church to read aloud large portions of Scripture. There were not that many copies of a complete Bible in that day, not like they are today. Public reading was a common thing for religious gatherings. And John was keeping the testimony of Christ and the Word of God and was exiled because of that. And now he's showing what's going to take place. We have to read it and open our ears and hearts to see Christ and God's great plan for the ages. What is God's plan for you and me? We're doing it in the church age that we live in right now. But one day soon Christ will come to take us to heaven to be with him forevermore. It'll be too late for us to go witness to our neighbor. Too late to call our family member and plead with them to be saved. Too late to warn others about the impending doom that lies ahead. We not only have to read the Word of God, but we have to heed what it says. We have to obey it. Make it practical in our daily life. The Bible is the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the Bible. We should know it. We should understand it. We should interpret it properly. Because the next great event on God's time scale will be revealed in this book. Verse number 19 says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, past, the things which are, present, and the things which shall be hereafter." Chapter 1 through 3:13 is past. Chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 4 was present. And chapter 4 through the rest of the book of Revelation is still future event to take place. What is the catalyst to kick off this future event? Christ is going to come and take us to heaven to be with him and usher in this new epoch of time that will take place. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Let's stand together, please. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you that though there are many hard sayings in the Scripture, you've given us understanding. We compare Scripture with Scripture. We find truth, understanding, enlightenment in the Word. Thank you for the wisdom of those who have great understanding of the languages that help us to define words and their meanings. Help us to understand your purpose and plan. And now, Lord, what we need most of all is to know Christ as our Savior and have the Holy Spirit who can give us enlightenment in the Word and give us an urgency of the hour in which we live and help us to be looking and longing for the coming of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.